Fred Film Radio.
Fred Film Radio, this is Francesca Raffi. Today we are going to know more about the 7th edition of ARSAD, the Advanced Research Seminar on Audio Description, which will take place on March the 19th, all day, and 20th morning in Barcelona. For more than 10 years now, ARSAD is the meeting point for all the key agents interested in both research and practice in audio description. And today we have virtually with us one of the main experts in audio description worldwide, Dr. Gerald Snyder, audio describer, audio description trainer, but also president of Audio Description Associates and director of the Audio Description Project of the American Council of the Blind. Joel, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Francesca. It's a pleasure.
Thank you. Well, Joel, you are an institution when it comes to accessibility and a pioneer in the field of audio description. So, Joel, tell us more about your background and how and why did you start?
Sure. Well, I don't know about being called an institution.
Yeah, that's you are, definitely.
I don't think I've ever been called an institution before. It's been said that I ought to be in an institution. but in any event, all of that is simply because I'm just so damn old, I guess. I don't know.
But, no, you are not.
I was fortunate in the 1970s to begin. I had already been a stage actor and radio announcer, and so a lot of work with theater and media. And I began to share that kind of work with people who are blind by simply reading to individuals. I recorded talking books for the blind at our Library of Congress in Washington, D.C. That led also to doing some volunteer work for a closed circuit radio reading service, the Washington Ear, where I would read the Washington Post on Sundays. And this is in the 70s, so really before audio description was a thing, if you will. And yet I was reading the Washington Post on the radio. And, you know, you come to the comics, you come to images of any sort. How do you communicate them over the radio? Well, you describe them. So I was a describer. I didn't even know what that was. And coincidentally, though, in 1981, the head of the Washington Ear, Margaret Fanshtiel, a blind woman, was on a committee at a theater in Washington, D.C., Arena Stage. And they were excited to share with folks on the committee that they had installed assisted listening for people who have hard of hearing, who are hard of hearing. And Margaret and her colleague, Chet Avery, a blind man, also on the committee, thought, couldn't that system be used to help blind people as well? If it's simply about a microphone on stage, couldn't someone speak into that microphone using the pauses between bits and pieces of dialogue or critical sound elements and describe images? And Arena Stage said, let's give it a try. So Margaret came back to the studio and put together three or four of us, myself included, people that had background in radio, in English, and such. And we began to hammer out how we would do this. And later that year in 1981, the first performing arts piece with audio description ever was described at Arena Stage. And we went on to do the pilot for broadcast television description on WGBH, so that in 1985, I wrote and voiced three of the very first television programs ever broadcast with audio description. And it's gone on from then. I've worked all my life in the arts as an actor, as an arts presenter, running a theater, as an administrator at the National Endowment for the Arts. But throughout that time, I've been working with audio description in all genres. First, of course, in performing arts, then with media, television, and with feature films. And then more and more with museums and visitor center exhibits, that sort of thing. But description really can happen in any genre, at any event where the visual image is critical. and needs to be conveyed to people who don't have access to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been about 38 years.
And you are, well, among many other things, you are a professional audio describer as well, but also an audio description trainer. And you wrote a manual entitled The Visual Made Verbal, a comprehensive training manual and guide to the history and applications of audio description, which offers, we can say, an overview of the field, including its history, application to a range of genres. We were talking about genres.
Sure.
Description of training techniques and much more. I read the book. For our listeners, you can buy it on Amazon, on thevisualmadeverbal.net, but I know it's also available as audiobook, voiced by the author himself.
Yeah.
Well, I think that your book...
Also, if I may say, it's also available in Portuguese now, in Russian, in Polish.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful.
Pursuing versions in Spanish, right? Possible versions in Arabic and Mandarin and French.
Oh, wow.
Working on that as well. I've trained describers, or I've worked in description in over 60 countries now. So every now and then the opportunity presents itself to actually pursue the translation of the book.
Yes.
So
I think that the book confirms somehow that high quality audio description, but accessibility in general, crosses many domains. And you established four fundamentals of audio description: observation, editing, language, and vocal skills.
That's right.
Can you tell us more about these principles?
Sure. While we're discussing the book, I do want to say that it began really as part of a dissertation for the Universitat Autonoma de Barcelona with Pilar Herrero, who is a marvelous practitioner of audio description and trainer and instructor in audiovisual translation. So I do want to mention that, certainly, especially in that our SAD is hosted by the university right there in Barcelona. Yeah. The four fundamentals over the years in working in description and training describers, I began to discover ways in which, the best ways in which to help people understand what's involved and become better describers. And the first fundamental, as you mentioned, is observation. I think first and foremost we need to see, we need to expand our sense of sight and become active seers. Most folks with sight go through life seeing but not observing. They're passive, and describers can't afford to do that. We need to actively see what's around us. That's important, I think. The second fundamental, ironically enough, editing, is really about taking from what we see and honestly eliminating most of it. Because there is no way to describe, to use words to describe what we see in the same amount of time it takes to see something, and especially in performing arts, in media, you're limited, typically, to the space between the pieces of dialogue or critical sound elements. But even in a museum, you know, they say a picture is worth 1,000 words. Well, most blind people respond to that by saying, well, that's nice, but can you do this in less than 1,000 words? You know, you have to edit from what you see. The question I ask describers to ask themselves is, what is most critical to an understanding? He points to his head and an appreciation, his hand is on his heart, of the image. Focus on that. And interestingly enough, I think what folks find is that when you limit what you describe, you actually help people understand more vividly, more effectively. Because you're not trying to tackle everything.
Yeah, because I remember that once you said in an interview or maybe or at a conference that I attended. Correct me if I'm wrong. Audio description must be enhancing and not distracting.
There you go. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the best way to do that, you know, the first mistake many beginning describers do make in performing arts in particular is to try to describe everything. They're talking. And you know what? A blind person doesn't attend a play or watch a video or a film or go to a museum to hear the audio description.
Yes.
They're there for the play or the video or the film, and we are simply enhancing it, making it accessible. We're in the background, so we need to be in service to the form being described and the people accessing that form. So the third area is really where we spend the most time, or should perhaps, and that's language. Mm-hmm. We are translators. We are transferring it all to words. Vivid, concise, succinct language, objective language, language that creates an image in the mind's eye of the listener, even if that listener has been congenitally blind. But most of our audience, of course, is not blind from birth.
Yeah, yeah.
Most of our audience has some sight and can see if you tell them where to look, perhaps.
Yeah.
In any event, we use language to paint that picture. If our eyes could speak, what would they say?
Mm-mm-mm.
How would they say it vividly? So that's key. And in an echo of the editing fundamental, I think in the use of language, we need to be vivid. We need to sometimes see beyond what's there. In other words, use our imagination. That tower is as tall as a two-story building. Well, that's real simple. There's no two-story building there. It's just a tower.
Mm-hmm.
But if we imagine what's not there and verbalize it, we help people see. But even when we do all of that, we need to be spare. We need to be concise. We need to be succinct. As Blaise Pascal said at the end of a long letter to a friend, he wrote, "I've only made this letter longer because I've not had the time to make it shorter."
That's true.
we need to make it shorter. We need to edit not only what we see, but edit the language we use to describe. And then finally, vocal skills is the fourth fundamental. And, you know, in performing arts, most describers are the people voicing the description, with media typically not. But in any event, I think a describer needs to be aware of how a mediocre voice talent can take a wonderful description, wonderfully written description, and ruin it.
And ruin it, yes.
In the same way, a very talented voice artist can take a mediocre description and make it work, and make it work. So vocal skills are an important part of all of this. Description, like poetry, is oftentimes written to be voiced. In fact, with description, it's probably 99% of the time is written to be voiced. I have done descriptions that have been brailled
mm-hmm.
along with the original audio of a film, and a braille user is following along, the like a libretto at an opera, following along what's being spoken in the film, and then the description is there.
Mm-hmm.
So they can perceive it via braille, and they don't have to listen to it. But typically, vocal skills play an important role.
Well, we can say that we need then some standards and some guidelines, and that training is important. Well, Arsada has played a key role in showing that there are guidelines, that there are standards, and that training is important. And, well, speaking of Arsada, this year you will present audio description listening to movement, focusing on how a blind person or a person with low vision can see a dance performance. Tell us more about this fascinating research, Joel.
Oh, sure. Well, I'm fortunate to have a relationship with a woman named Esther Geiger, who is a certified movement analyst. I've been married to Esther for just about 45 years, and as I say, a certified movement analysis. She's a student of Laban Bartenev, Movement Fundamentals. And what that means is that she has the ability to look at any kind of movement, be it a gesture, a dance, a facial expression, and categorize it, think about it in ways that help someone understand what's behind it, what's the meaning behind it. And it occurred to us early on that using those fundamentals and those skills are helpful to audio describers. In particular, the paper that we'll present has to do with looking at abstract dance in particular, and conveying a sense of what the choreographer has in mind with vivid language, with language that does more than just say the word walk, for instance. Okay. Walk tells you what somebody's doing, but how are they doing it? That's critical to effective description. What are synonyms for walk? You know, the person might shuffle, the person might stumble, the person might prance, the person might march, etc. Finding those words, using the fundamentals of Laban movement analysis, helps us look at the language of movement in a different way, especially in abstract dance, because it's not literal. It's not like a play that's realistic and goes from one place to one place to one place to one place to the end.
Where there is a narrative.
Narrative, exactly. Mm-hmm. There are story ballets, of course, that are very much like that. Mm-hmm. But what we find interesting is how you convey a dance that does not have a story.
The story is
about movement in a more basic way, in a way that suggests levels, shapes, lighting, angles, those kinds of things. And that's the story, if you will, in a modern dance, in an abstract piece of movement. And that's what we're trying to get at, how to describe movement in significant and vivid ways. For instance, of course, this is an audio interview, but I'm going to raise my hand. Mm-hmm. I just raised my hand. Now I'm going to raise my hand. Well, you can't see what I did, but the raising of my hand was very different between the two different ways. Mm-hmm. And I use the same language. Well, you can't use the same language if you want to convey
different meanings.
Of the two different methods or types of raising of the hand. And that's just a simple way, I think, of indicating what we're going to chat about a little bit at Arsat.
So can we say that one of the skills that audio describers must have is the ability to re-see the world?
Yes, I think so. John Ruskin said we must see with exactitude. I may be getting that mixed up with Goethe. He also spoke about how we see the world. Yeah. Helen Keller, of all people, of course, spoke about how people who have sight seldom use that blessed faculty. They take in the visual in a hazy sort of lackadaisical passive way, as I mentioned earlier, without really understanding what they're seeing, without seeing it actively, without observing closely. And so that gets back to that first fundamental of description.
Well, Joel, thank you very much for bringing your voice, first of all, on Fred, and for sharing your experience with us. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And thank you very much to all of you. If you want to know more about accessibility, audio description and ARSAD 2019, don't miss our next interviews. This is Francesca Raffi for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.